How did a modest North Californian suburb become the hub of the global economy? There's no doubt that Palo Alto, home to Stanford University and the heart of Silicon Valley, has helped birth some of the major tech giants of our time and had an outsized influence on the stock market and the culture. But why Palo Alto? Freelance author Malcolm Harris tries to explain this puzzle in the new book, Palo Alto, A History of California, Capitalism, and the World. Malcolm has written two previous books about youth culture and economics, and he joins us now to share five of his big ideas.
Hi, I'm Malcolm Harris, and I'm the author of the new book, Palo Alto, A History of California, Capitalism, and the World. It's the first comprehensive history of Silicon Valley, tracing the story of that miracle region from the beginning of Anglo-American settlement in the 19th century all the way into the present of Apple, Google, and Facebook. Today, I'm going to share five book bites from Palo Alto with you in the form of a mental dance. Book bite number one, think dialectically. We have to start by acknowledging that things aren't always as they appear, that they're composed of contradictions internally. We know that impersonal forces that drive history are more important than the particular personalities that characterize them. And yet, we can only access these forces through people and their actions. How do we begin to understand a world where people make their own history, but never under circumstances of their own choosing? The answer is to think dialectically, using the science of internal relations to investigate how real people make something out of what's been made of them. This is how I approach the infinitely complex subject of 170 years of history in Palo Alto, and with my remaining bites, I'll tell you how I applied four thinking steps in what Bertel Ullman calls the dance of the dialectic. Book bite number two, analyze. In step one of the dance, we look for connections in the present and the structure of the whole in its parts. I started my investigation by connecting the extraordinarily high rate of youth suicide in Palo Alto, California during the 21st century with the extraordinarily high rate of capital accumulation in Silicon Valley going on during the same time. Why was the self-declared greatest engine of wealth production in human history simultaneously producing an environment in which the children of that wealth, the ones who are being prepared to carry that accumulated wealth into the future and continue the regional industry's enormous success, not to mention the future of the American project, choosing instead to destroy themselves? The dance of the dialectic begins with this kind of question. Book bite number three, historicize. In the second step, we look for the preconditions of this contradiction in the past. Palo Alto was a spin-off of the railroad, named for a big tree alongside the tracks. One of the guys who gets credit for that railroad was Robert Barron Leland Stanford, and he created Palo Alto as a place where he and his family could escape from angry workers who blamed him for their declining wages. He built the town as a cutting-edge laboratory, first to make the fastest trotting horses, then to make skilled engineers for America's new high-tech industries, mining, agriculture, and radio. At the same time, California's world-beating scientists pioneered new ways of driving down labor costs, whether eugenically breeding humans for high IQs or organizing vigilante gangs to beat workers with sticks and shoot them down with pistols. The grinding contradiction between limitless growth on one hand and brutal repression on the other sparks Silicon Valley into being. Book bite number four, visionize. In step three, we project the major contradictions forward through history, into the present and future. Here is where the bulk of the work goes down, as we drag the Palo Alto problematics through the 20th century and into the 21st. As class conflict developed between Earth's new capitalists and workers everywhere on whom they rely, the tension between growth and repression yielded conflict at the global scale. In Palo Alto, growth raced ahead, developing the military tools necessary to subdue not just the fascist menace of Nazism, but the anti-colonial movements which caught fire in the wake of Allied victory in World War II. America built its unipolar post-war economy on a bed of nails, nuclear missiles. And at the core of each of those missiles was a new technology, silicon chips. With friendly production enclaves secured by the atomic umbrella, capitalist America integrated the world's population into a single system, intertwining, for example, Silicon Valley's most valuable company with ostensibly socialist China. And yet, the contradictions have endured. The capitalist tendency to exhaust both every natural resource and the shared body of labor has only accelerated, and the biosphere has plunged into crisis. The culmination of Palo Alto at a global scale has meant catastrophe at the same level, and to the degree the future looks certain, it's a disaster. Book bite number 5, Organize. In the final step, we look back for proximate preconditions of the future in the present we have, and use them to orient ourselves politically. As much as the Silicon Valley techno lords would present themselves as the solution to our various acute crises, we know from our previous steps that their growth and profit-based model is inextricable from, and in fact, identical to, the exhausting system that has brought us beyond the edge into an actually occurring planetary emergency. The Palo Alto system, which grew from the impersonal external body of Leland Stanford, cannot be a solution to itself. It can only provide the preconditions for the further accumulation of profit, which always exists in equal and opposite proportion to misery and destruction. In order to find the preconditions for an emergent, sustainable social metabolism for humanity on Earth, we need to look beyond and before Palo Alto, a process that could begin with the return of Stanford lands to the Muekma Ohlone, whose ancestral stewardship of the land and current tribal existence Stanford acknowledges. If, seized by larger historical forces, capitalist decision-makers like those in Palo Alto find themselves unable to cede land to those who are capable of caring for it responsibly, which I fear to be the case, they force humanity into a struggle that will surely end with either the revolutionary overthrow of near 200 years of planetary capitalism or the mutual ruin of the contending classes.
Thank you, Malcolm. That was Malcolm Harris with 5 big ideas from Palo Alto, A History of California, Capitalism, and the World. Also, check out our book bite for Work, Pray, Code, When Work Becomes Religion in Silicon Valley by Carolyn Chen. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.